Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Walking in inner healing ministry and over 10,000 hours of one-on-one inner healing ministry. And so in that, I've tried a couple other different methods. There's many streams out there of inner healing, and they're all good. But a lot of them tend to be a bit laborious. They take a long time, and they're good, but they have a lot to go through, and it takes a lot of time, and you need a facilitator or one or two or three facilitators. And so I kept asking the Lord, I need a quicker way. Please, Lord, give me a quicker, easy way that's user-friendly and that the individual person can go before you in the quiet of their home or wherever they're at and find a way to just connect with you for healing. It should be that simple, right? Shouldn't be so, unless you have serious, really strong abuse and some other things in your past, most things are simple to give to the Lord. It's just we don't know how. We say all the right prayers. We don't want it. Our hearts, we know what the Word says about that thing. Whatever it is, we know what the Word says. We shouldn't have, like, fear. We shouldn't carry fear because fear, the perfect love casts out fear. We know that that's not the Lord, so we try and get rid of it, but it's sticky. You ever notice that? It's sticky. So it's what keeps that thing in place when we don't want it? That's always been, like, mulling around in my head. And so we're gonna find out what keeps that in place. So if we turn to page one. You got that? Everybody got page one? How many of you, this is the first time that you've ever heard about the value exchange or gone through the training? Awesome. Good. Good, good, good. Let me just say, I'm open to questions anytime. If you have a question, I don't know that I have the answer, but I'll give it a whirl. And if you get stirred up emotionally, I want you to know that, where's my healing team? Could the healing team stand up, please? My healing team. It's the Lord's healing team. And my husband, Marquito, everybody standing is well-versed in the value exchange. And they can help you. So you go to, if you get stirred up, we don't want you to leave stirred up. So just go to one of them and they'll be happy to help you with getting that calmed down. Because talking about emotions tends sometimes to stir us up. And it's all good. Because there's peace to be had. And we're going to talk about how to get that peace tonight. So all of our life. So we come from a father, Father God, we come from a, he creates our spirit, and he is perfect love, right? So our spirit comes into the earth expecting to be loved, right? We just have that expectation in us. We look for love. We have an expectation that we're going to be loved. Well, the problem is we sometimes don't always feel loved because of the way we interpret things, information coming at us. All of us are raised by wounded parents, and we're all wounded. It's just the way woundedness perpetuates itself. I haven't met anybody that doesn't have something that they wish they didn't have sticking to them. You know, some kind of stronghold or something, worry, fear, anger issues, something that they wish they didn't have. And that all comes from a wounded heart. At some point in our life, we encounter something that we put up a guard. So that guard can turn into a stronghold. So we struggle for significance. Have you ever caught yourself doing that? I just want to be loved. Just want to be accepted, especially on the playground. Oh, my word. I remember as a child just wanting to be, because my family moved a lot, and just wanting to be, and I was so shy and awkward and tall and lanky, and so I just didn't fit in, and I so wanted to be accepted. And I know I've heard a lot of playground stories. That's the worst place to get accepted for most of us, isn't it? So in that, we start looking for acceptance. And so we're going to start doing things. We're going to try and act a certain way so that that person will accept us, or this person will. So we start letting people dictate our actions and how we think about ourselves. We're going to look at the value that we perceive that they do or don't put on us, and we're going to come into agreement with it, or think, I need to change this. Apparently who I am isn't good enough, and so I need to do something about that. And so you're going to take on something else that's going to try and make you be a better person so that you're going to be acceptable. Can anybody relate to that? It's like, yeah, we all want to be significant to someone. We all want to feel valued and worthy, worth loving. But this world doesn't set us up for that kind of success. Intentionally or unintentionally, people wound us. It's how we interpret. Sometimes it's intentional because they're wounded and not perfect. And sometimes it's unintentional. I remember one of my worst moments of woundedness was so benign. My mom, bless her heart, was very crafty and took me to, when I was 4 years old, to a little ceramic shop, and I got to paint a bunny. A little bunny, and you put a cotton ball in its tail, and it was just a little ceramic bunny. Well, she let me paint the white part. How boring is that for a four-year-old? Like, the white part. So the bunny's all white, except I know, because I see one already done, it's got pink in its ears and on its face, its eyes. But I don't get to do that part. She takes the, when I get done with the white part, she takes that and she goes, okay, now let me put on the pink part so it'll look nice. Stab. Yeah, stab. That told me I wasn't good enough. My little heart got crushed there. I'm not good enough. But my, apparently I can't do it right. And I had all these things swirling around in my little head. And I've had to be, I had to look at that a couple times. And you wouldn't think that would have been such a big deal. But I had a real tender heart. And I perceived it wrong. She so didn't mean to hurt me, right? That wasn't her intention. We were having a girls' night out, but I misinterpreted. That's part of the way woundedness can unintentionally happen. Any place where our heart hurts is a wound. We have accepted faulty thinking right there. The message came through loud and clear. To the way we interpret it, and it goes through our mind and gets in all those filters, and how we interpret that is everything. It's everything. And the lower opinion you have of yourself, as you go through life and you start hearing the more sensitive you become, and the more easy it is to get wounded, and one wound builds on another and another and another. So after a while, we're a bit of a mess. Any place where our heart hurts, and every negative belief we have stems from a lie we accepted as truth at the moment of woundedness. So when my mom did that and that stab happened, I immediately felt, I'm not good enough. My best isn't good enough. It's not acceptable. Some of these beliefs become so entrenched that they become strongholds. And I carried that one a long time. Just really had a low, I am not good enough. Because the enemy will use that one point and then he'll build on it. You know, he knows where I got lied to. And they'll make sure that that's punched again and again and again. And so it gets pretty entrenched in there. Some of the stuff that we carry, like fear, is an easy one to pass on generationally. So if you have a fearful mother or a fearful father, even a grandmother or grandfather, those generational things, the child will see the parent in fear, and children emulate their parents, and so they'll take that fear on thinking it's a good idea for some reason. It just seems like, I mean, children are little me's, you know. Everybody that's a parent has a little me. And so somehow that child sees the good and the bad and isn't always able to interpret which is which when they're small. And so the word tells us to be active in the transformation of our minds. In Romans 12, 1 through 2, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that is what is good, acceptable, and perfect. There's many ways to renew our mind, but that's one of the problems right there. When we're wanting to get rid of something, so say you have an issue with not feeling good enough. Say you have an issue with that, and you know you don't want it. You recognize it's there and that it's hindering you. It kept me locked up for a long time. It was so strong in me that I would not have been able to get up here and do this if I had not got set free from that. It will lock you up so that you're not at risk, right? And so when I recognize that I don't, so say you have something like that and you recognize you don't want it, and so you start saying, God, I just give this to you. I give you the feeling that I'm not good enough because I know it's not right. I know that's not what your word says, and I don't want it anymore. So I just give it to you, and I don't want it. And so would you take it and just help me to feel better there? Or however you pray that, well, the reason that doesn't go is because your mind hasn't been renewed. We haven't approached the Lord in such a way that it allows that renewal to happen. So in this process, that's how it works. It's setting you up in such a way that the Lord, you're going to have an exchange with him that will cause your mind to be renewed into right thinking where you've had wrong thinking. Does that make sense? Then your mind is renewed, and then that thing goes, and you're free. And then it lines up with what your heart wanted all along. Number two, transformation happens when we choose to allow the Lord to humble us and give his perspective to our wrong thinking. It takes an active participation on our part, and the Holy Spirit will not enter where he's not invited. Holy Spirit's a real gentle, he will not force you to give up anything that you don't want to give up, right? He's very patient, and he'll allow circumstances in your life that will stir you up enough that you're going to want to get rid of that thing, you know, by your free will. He works with our free will. And so if our free will is resistant, he'll massage that. And when it gets ready, he'll take advantage of that so that our minds can be renewed. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Think about that. With unveiled face, as we behold him, it's in the beholding that transformation happens. And we're being transformed into the very likeness of Christ if we're beholding him. If you're beholding something unhealthy on YouTube, if you're beholding video games all the time, you become what you behold. Your heart, your mind starts to be wired to think the way whatever it is you're beholding is. If you're watching a bunch of negativity, a constant negativity, your physical brain will actually start wiring towards that, in that direction. And you'll find yourself becoming negative, because that's what you're filling your mind with. And your body accommodates that. So we need to rewire. We need to rewire our brains and watch out what we're beholding, because it's Jesus that we want to be transformed into his very image. That just blows me away. Number three, as we allow the Lord to heal our minds by exchanging truth for a lie, we believe our perspective is brought into unity and harmony with the Lord's thinking, so that we begin to act and react like him. And in this, we share his glory. What an amazing interaction between us and our Jesus. It's our perspective that causes the woundedness. It's how we perceive information coming at us. And however, once we start getting wounded, that woundedness skews that information. So now it doesn't come through purely. It comes through a fractured perspective. And so now it starts to twist and look like all kinds of things, when it was meant to be just a simple, here, let's make this bunny look really pretty, because you're going to have, you know, however she could have said it at the time differently, that my little heart would have responded okay, you know. But that initial stabbing skewed everything else from then on. I never did like that bunny. And I kept it for years. I might even still have it somewhere. I like it now, though. It's a sweet memory now, but I didn't like it for a long time. Psalm 59, 9 through 10. Because of his strength, I will watch for you, for God is my stronghold. My God, in his loving kindness, will meet me. God will let me look triumphantly on my foes. When we find a stronghold that we've been struggling with, and we can release it to the Lord, then he becomes our stronghold in that place. His thinking, what we're doing is exchanging a fleshy stronghold for a kingdom thinking. It's flesh thinking for kingdom thinking. So our thoughts then will align. Our spirit wants to agree with God. And so when we make that exchange and we can truly let go of this other thing, our spirit is going to say yes and amen when we hear the Lord or feel his perspective. And it's going to be like a wow. And now my thoughts are right in that place, and everything looks different. Everything looks different. I've had some amazing experiences with people. One of them that I remember, the thoughts that the woundedness in his thoughts was so clouding him that we were sitting outside doing a session And he got this huge breakthrough. I don't even remember what the breakthrough was, but all of a sudden he's like looking around and his eyes are like, what? And I had no idea what he was seeing, except it was a pretty day. And he's like, wow, everything's in color. It's green. And look at the flowers. And he was just amazed at what he saw. And he told me later that he saw in muted colors. But when he got that healing, everything like in the spirit opened up to him. And it was amazing. So that's how powerful this can be. Number four. God has a countermeasure to every single scheme that the enemy has to wound us. The Lord wants to be our stronghold, and he knows the hurtful things we've suffered and what that has done to our hearts. But it is truly by his strength, with the help of Holy Spirit, that those hurts can be exposed and released to him in exchange for his peaceful protection over our hearts. The Holy Spirit searches our hearts, right? Just the same way that he searches the Father's heart. His goal is to bring our hearts together as one, in unity, no conflict, as my husband likes to say, no conflict. He wants to be our stronghold. When the Lord is our stronghold, I find now that when things come at me that in the past would have seriously hurt, that or made me angry or whatever, that it just like bounces off. Like there's not anything there it can connect to. It's really amazing. So we have to understand that peace is far more powerful than fear. But fear feels powerful, right? Fear feels like an intense emotion or anger. Joy is far greater than anger. Far more powerful. Anger is destructive. But joy comes in and that anger disappears immediately. Like how do you fight joy, anger with joy? It diffuses a situation. The kingdom principles, the kingdom, the joy, the peace, the kindness, love, all of those things are far greater and more powerful than any negative feeling that we can have. It's just that those negative feelings feel intense. So the feeling wants to determine our truth. And feelings don't determine truth. The truth is, and when my mom did that, I was not not good. The truth was that it wasn't that I was not good enough. Because I took that personally. I didn't relate it to just that hit me like, I'm not good enough. I'm not. And that wasn't the truth, but it felt really strong. And too often we let our feelings determine truth. When feelings will betray us. Number five, a stronghold is a fortified place. A place of security or survival. For every stronghold that we struggle with, there are perceived benefits. This is the tricky part about the value exchange. You have to everybody take their wisdom and logic off and set it somewhere, like in one of these empty chairs, and just set it there. Because this part of the value exchange is like, seems... just odd. It's a different way of thinking. It's upside down and backwards. A stronghold is a fortified place of security or survival. For every stronghold, we perceive there are benefits that have convinced us that we need this particular stronghold. For example, the stronghold of fear. I'm going to give you more than one example, but let's take fear. Fear is, if you look in the dictionary, all fear is the same. It's the expectation of something bad happening, right? It's very simple. Doesn't matter if it's a fly or flying, or with me, spiders. I can kill them now. I used to couldn't, literally could not kill them. I had to run. And but now I can kill them. It's very exciting. So the thing about fear is, if we let that become a stronghold or a pattern in our life, and it tends to grow. I started with the dark, fear of the dark, when I was a little girl, and by the time I grew up, I was afraid of bridges, elevators, flying. I was so scared of planes, and with our business, we flew a lot. And there's this place between Mexico City and Tampico, Mexico, that's really turbulent. And I would just freak out during that time, and I'd squeeze the blood out of Chris's hand and cry the whole way. And when I got healing for that, the next time we took that trip, I'm sitting there reading a magazine, and the plane is bouncing. It was a horrible, bouncy trip. The plane's bouncing all over the place, and I'm calmly reading, and my husband's going like that. He goes, "Are you okay?" I don't know if he thought I took drugs or something, but I was totally peaceful. I surprised myself. It was amazing. But so what's the benefit to my flesh? It's a fleshy benefit. If I hold fear, excuse me, it's the expectation of something bad. If I expect something bad, what would the flesh benefit be? It's good. It's going to be a good benefit. I mean, it sounds good to the flesh. Anybody got an idea? Come on, you guys. If I'm expecting something, you'll be prepared. I'm geared up. So I'm always like this. I'm waiting for that bad thing. Right? So it's not going to catch me off guard. I'm not going to be surprised or shocked when it happens because I know a bad thing's coming. It's a subconscious thought. It's not conscious. Consciously, you don't want fear. Subconsciously, there's an agreement with it because it does something for the flesh that benefit, feels like I'm doing something about it. And so because we get fearful, and it feels like, okay, I'm ready, right? Problem with that is we're made in the image of God, and what we are and believing, what we're anticipating, we tend to draw to us. So if I'm expecting something bad to happen, there's an enemy out there that's quite happy to help with that, right? So we don't want to hold on to fear. So the feeling, let's say you have a feeling of unworthy, like I did. If you've had that feeling of unworthy, there's a benefit to feeling unworthy. If I hold on to that and carry that throughout the rest of my life, there's a benefit to my flesh. It's a heart guard at some level. Because the Bible tells me I'm worthy. My husband tells me I'm worthy. Friends love me. So what's my problem? I'm holding on to that belief for a reason. What would it be? If I believe I'm unworthy, I'm not going to be disappointed when I get rejected. Right? I'm going to be ready for it. I know how to think right there. Because I knew I was unworthy anyway. So your rejection doesn't hurt as bad. You getting it? So even, let's take doubts. Yes, Jessica. Their most benefits are self-protection, self-elevation, they're motivating, and they're self-comforting. And there's other reasons that you personally might be holding on to something. So you need to search for it. But those are the most common ones that I see. And it all boils down to when you melt all of that down, it is really self-protection. It's all self-protection way down there at some level. So if I had doubts, so you can even use this method, like if you have issues between you and the Lord, like you doubt that when you pray that you have a lot of doubts, or you're doubting God's will for your life, or that he has a call on your life, or that he has good for you, or just doubt, you know, those doubts that we struggle with the Lord, or in just in general in life. There's a huge benefit to doubting. Anybody got an idea? Come on, you got to get your brains turning this way. It's upside down. That's right. It's huge. You won't be disappointed if it doesn't happen. So you're already protect. You got this buffer there, and all you is like, I knew it. I knew it. And what does the Bible say about that? It's when the Lord's talking about wisdom. He says, if you ask me for wisdom and you do not doubt, I will give you wisdom. But if you doubt, you're like a wave tossed in the sea to and fro. And why should you get anything? You know, why should anything happen? Because you're unstable. So we need to get rid of doubts. We don't want to agree with that. But it feels like a really nice buffer. Then my heart doesn't get hurt, right? It's all about protecting the heart, because we hate pain. Pain hurts, and we don't want to hurt. And so we're going to do, and it's all subconscious. Let's turn over to the next page. Are there any other questions? This is the real critical part. This makes the value exchange different from anything else I've ever seen out there, is the benefit part. There's other streams that sound very similar, and they work and they're good. They'll even use all the same terminology that I'm using, except for the benefit part. The benefit is what holds the stronghold in place. It justifies the stronghold. Michael. Yes.
But if I'm leaning on it, I can't give it to him if I'm going to fall over.
That's good.
I have to be able to identify it and be willing to take my weight off it in order to give it to him.
Yes.
So that's why it's so critical to identify.
Did you all hear that? Did everybody hear that? That was really good. Lorna, could you guys hear that? Yeah. Okay. Was that a no? I went... I won't get that as well as you did.
I was just saying that what God showed me about the benefit is it's like a cane, and it's not, it's something that you're relying on it. You've been relying on it, even though it's a negative thing. And even if your heart says, well, yeah, I want to give this, I want to put this on the altar because that's the next step, right? I want to put this on the altar, but I can't put it on the altar if I'm going to fall over. You know, when I have to identify it first and be willing to take my weight off of that thing before I can put it on the altar.
Yeah, that's good. That's exactly what happens. In James, on page 2, James 3, 5 through 17. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but it's earthly, natural, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. We want the wisdom from above, not our flesh wisdom. By following these steps, you will be able to successfully take yourself through this process. Jesus will never leave you empty-handed or unprotected. He will always give you something of kingdom value in place of soulish value. It's identifying the value that needs to happen so that we own it. It's owning it. It's bringing the subconscious to the conscious, because this is all done subconsciously. Everybody does it, and it's all to protect the heart, because we don't, especially when we're little, we don't know how to do that. And so we'll start this stuff young. And by the time we're adults, it's already set in place. Logic, and when you're doing this, don't analyze why do you have this stronghold? Why do you hold on to fear? Or why do you hold on to the belief I'm not good enough? Don't analyze that, because that will shut it down. It's not logical. Logic doesn't heal wounded emotions. You've been analyzing yourself all your life. I know I did. Wounded emotions, when they're healed, heals our logic. It works the other way. And then when our logic is set into right thinking, there's great freedom. And our perspective on us and the rest of the world is quite different. Does anybody need a break? Anybody feel like you need a little break? Want to keep going? All right. Yeah. All right. I like that. All right. Just so you know, I need a volunteer to do a live demonstration. This is a teaching. It's a workshop. And so I need a brave soul. And not yet, but in a minute. I'm just getting you all ready. She's ready. Just getting you all ready so that you can be thinking about it. So I want to go through the steps, and then I'm going to demonstrate the steps. And then after I take her through, I'm going to take you all through at once. That's how simple this is. Okay? All right. So number 7, I just want to say that God speaks in many ways. And don't put pressure on yourself to receive a certain way, or on the Lord to speak to you in a certain way. Like if you think he's only going to speak to you and you're going to hear it, then you just might be frustrated, because he might want to just give you a picture instead, like Michael just got a picture. Or he might want to just give you a warm, fuzzy feeling. But your logic is still going to, your thinking is still going to shift. Or he might just give you a knowing. Suddenly you know. Suddenly it just feels better. It's just going to feel better. And if you try to analyze that, it's supernatural. So you can't. So don't try. You'll exhaust yourself. I've been there, done that. So when in this process, when you're taking yourself through, or I'm going to take you all through, all you have to do is so simple, is just receive. Because you will. It's knowing. The Bible says that my sheep, God says, my sheep know my voice. So all of you that are sheep, you're all sheep here, you know the Lord's voice. You have the ability to know his voice. So don't think that just entails hearing, okay? Sometimes we get hung up on the hearing. Number 1. Identify the stronghold. So if you've been thinking, listening to me talking, you probably have an idea of something you'd like to get rid of already. Anybody have an idea? See, there's some hands going up already. It will be something like fear, anger, doubt, lust, unworthy. It can be an addiction. Can be all kinds of negative things that you don't want. You know, is not should not be on the temple of God. You're his house, and it shouldn't be there. And so think about what your stronghold is. Could be any belief, like I'm rejected, I'm worthless, I don't matter. And you can't make it go away, no matter how many times you've tried. Situations that triggered you in the past could be a good indicator of what a stronghold is for you. Identify, number two, identify the benefit. So now you got your stronghold. Now you're going to identify the benefit, the what you're using that for, what your little flesh self is using that for to guard your heart. It is always a heart guard. This is what you believe that's keeping you bound to the stronghold and why your heart just won't let go of it. Most often this benefit is self-protection, self-comfort, self-elevation, self-justice, self-motivating is one you can add there. Ask yourself this question. So if you can find your benefit, you say, what is anger? Say, anger doing that benefits my heart. Remember, it's only a benefit to your flesh. We all get it that we have a fleshy side that's being renewed, right? We're in process. None of us has arrived. I haven't arrived. I'm working on it. I haven't arrived. And so we all have that flesh that we keep sloughing off. You know this isn't a good thing, but somewhere in your subconscious, this belief is doing something for you, or you wouldn't hold on to it. Number three, picture yourself standing before Jesus. This is not guided imagery. This is the only picture I'm going to ask you to picture. Because if you picture yourself standing before the Lord and he has an altar in front of him, an altar is a place that we put things, we sacrifice things of value. And so since we've put value, a flesh value to a negative, we're going to put that on the altar. Does that make sense? We're going to put that on the altar because it is a sacrifice to your flesh to give this up. It feels like it. Feels like your flesh is going to struggle with it sometimes. Often I'll ask people, they'll have fear. A lot of fear. And I'll say, okay, just so how would it feel if you put that fear and its benefit of guarding your heart up on the altar in front of Jesus? How would it feel if you don't have that fear? You can't use it anymore. They'll look at me and they'll go, man, that would be scary. No joke. It's fearful to give up fear. Because you don't know what life would be without it. So we immediately go there. We'll think, well, I've had this so long, I don't even know what it looks like, what it looked like to not have it. So I don't know. Well, you don't have to worry about that. Because the Lord knows what to give you. And when he gives you that kingdom value, your spirit's going to rise up and say, I know what to do with that. I know what to do with peace. I know what to do with worth and value because I've cried out for it all my life. I can receive that. So when he gives you kingdom value, it's going to witness with your spirit and you're going to want it. But until that happens, you've got this other thing in place to protect. So it's a matter of trust right here. We'll talk about what to do if that happens in a minute. It's just knowing that he will not leave you empty-handed. And you will know what to do with what he gives you. Because that revelation, it's revelation. Do you understand the difference between revelation and knowledge? Revelation takes it to a whole new level. Knowledge tells you you shouldn't be holding on to fear. Revelation replaces or displaces the fear with peace. And you know what to do with that. So, Number four, lay the belief on the altar and ask yourself how it would feel not to have this stronghold and its benefit. If you feel resistance to giving it up, ask Jesus. So if you feel fearful, giving up fear, all you have to do is just back off a little bit and know that he's not going to take that until you give it to him, until you ask him to, and just say, Jesus, it feels fearful to give up fear. And how do you think about that right there? All you're doing is just asking for his perspective. And he's not going to take it. And he's not going to belittle you or shame you or put you down in any way. He's very tender here. He's very tender because he has a wounded heart in front of him. And he knows that we're flesh. And he's soft and compassionate and slow. He's very, he wants us to succeed, right? So he's going to be very, very loving right here. So when he gives you, so if you can receive his perspective, and same thing, don't expect to, I have to hear. Just let it happen. Just say, how do you see this play? How do you think right here? Because I want my thoughts to align themselves with yours. When you do that, you're giving him permission to speak right there to you. You're inviting him. And at that point, he's like, oh, honey, or sweetheart, let me tell you. You know, he'll like share his perspective. And all of a sudden, so I have an example. One time I had it was a very strong religious spirit that I was dealing with. And religious spirit will make you real judgmental, right? And so when I saw that, I didn't want that, and I was taking it to the Lord. However, it felt like really strong protection to me. And so I saw myself. I get a lot of pictures, and I saw myself in a. It wasn't just silver; it was white gold, mind you. Little bird cage. And I was in the bird cage, and I could stick my hand out and minister to people and touch them and bless them and do all that. And I could see them. They could see me, and we could talk. But I had this cage here, and I felt very protected in that cage. And when I asked the Lord to show me what he thinks of my cage, it suddenly turned black and grew spikes to the inside and started twisting. And it was about 2 seconds later, I had that thing given up. I broke agreement with it. But I got his thoughts on it, and it caused me to, oh my goodness, I don't want that. So it helps you to come into agreement when you get his perspective. He won't force that on you. That's why you need to give him permission. When you do that, you'll either hear, see, sense, a knowing will happen. Okay? Wait for the knowing. Don't rush it. Don't rush it. Wait for the knowing. Then check yourself and see if you're free to give it up. And if you are, then proceed. Number five, if you feel free to give up your stronghold, the next step is to confess the stronghold and the benefits as sin and break all agreements with it. The prayer will sound something like this. This is a sample. Lord Jesus, I recognize that I have a stronghold of anger and that I have placed the value of self-protection and self-elevation on it. I ask for your forgiveness for doing this. So now, in Jesus' name, I choose to break my agreement with anger, and I give up the benefits of self-protection and self-elevation. I command all demonic or ungodly assignments, whatever you want to say there. They're ungodly. So just I break off ungodly assignments connected to these things to go now in Jesus' name. Ask the Lord at that point, and you have. Expect it to go, and like, let yourself just have that knowing it's got to go. If I feel free to give it, if I feel free to break, if there's no hindrance, it has to go. Ask the Lord, number six, ask the Lord to give you a value exchange. If you want, you want him to give you what you, you want to give him what you value, and then he will give you what he values in exchange. It's a perspective. It's a kingdom thought for a flesh thought. Does that make sense? You're not asking for a new car or anything like that. You're asking, you're inviting him to share his thoughts with you, because now your thoughts are ready to receive him. And so the perspective should shift. Your prayer will go something like this. Jesus, I ask that you clean this place out. I invite you to fill me with what you value in exchange for what I've placed value on. Take time to listen. Don't put your truth, don't put your own truth in here. Don't start thinking, oh, let's see, what's that scripture? You know, don't do that. Don't start spouting wisdom. We talk too much sometimes. Sometimes we talk too much and we don't listen. So this is a place to listen and receive. And so wait on it and let the Lord speak to you. Let him get his truth into you. The authority in his voice has power to dislodge that thing, and he will set a foundation of truth in you. We, our spirits, respond to the authority of God. We want to. He's our Father. And so we're inviting Papa to speak to us and bring healing. Check the belief in the stronghold and see what it looks like now. Ask yourself this question. Does it still feel true that I need anger? What you're looking for is a new peace and perspective. I would add to this, go to the last time you felt the stronghold that you're working on, a situation, a fight with your spouse or one of your kids or a coworker or a memory. Go to an early memory. I've had people do a value exchange out here without ever discussing a memory. I used to go into memories all the time with people, and that was very powerful, but it's very laborious. Out here, I can take them through a value exchange and then say, now go to the earliest memory you can remember feeling fear or whatever. And they'll land in a memory at 3, say, or 4. And now, how does that memory feel to you? And they're always, it's amazing. It's gone. It's peaceful. That's because at the moment of woundedness, our subconscious, and I'm not sure how it all works because we don't have a lot of logic right there to work through the dynamics of it, but that lie comes with a benefit. And as soon as we receive that lie, the benefit holds it in place. And so we get the benefit out here as an adult, and it's gone back here because the benefit and lie are no longer there. It's peaceful. It's amazing. It's amazing. So I'd invite you to do that. Go to an early memory, or if you can't think of an early one, just go somewhere where you use that benefit, that stronghold the last time, and check it out. Let yourself sit in the memory and hear the person talking to you or whatever the circumstances was. Feel it and see how it feels. It should feel peaceful. Now, that doesn't mean that memory will be completely peaceful, but say there's a feeling of being rejected in it, and you just dealt with rejection. That rejection should be peaceful. That should no longer feel true. But there could be other woundedness in that memory. That makes sense. So just make sure that part isn't. And then I would encourage you to go, well, what else am I feeling there? And go after those, because you might as well clean it out while you're there. The way I see it. Come on up here. So it takes a lot of bravery to do this in front of everybody. It's very vulnerable. And so we're just going to make sure, I want you all to be sure you honor her. And no judgment from whatever she's struggling with. And we're gonna bless her. And we're not going to talk about this outside. This is for training. Hi. So what brings you up here?
I've been wanting to call you. Fear. I've been dealing with a lot of fear.
Fear?
Yeah. I have foster children, and I thought I had dealt with all, you know, that fear and stuff, but I'm just constantly setting up walls and boundaries and everything, and I'm doing this a lot more and more and more all the time lately. So I'm just so afraid something bad's going to happen, or they're not going to get enough Jesus in them before they go home. Okay. So that's huge.
All right. So in what way do you feel fear is benefiting you? Because I've done a session with you before, so you know how this works.
Yeah, I just have a hard time with it.
So fear's the expectation of something bad happening. Right. If I hold on to that, how's that benefit?
It's going to help me when I'm not sure. I don't do well with this part.
You feel like you'd be ready for the bad thing? You feel like it makes you find solutions? It could be all kinds of.
Right. Well, I know a lot of bad things happened to me when I was 13, and they're both 13. So it's like, I guess it's just preparing me, you know, for that when that bad thing happens to them, because the bad thing happened to me at 13. Okay. And we're all going to be okay.
Okay. All right. So how would it feel to you to lay that fear up on the altar and break agreement with it? Do you have any resistance?
So believing. Dying to do this.
Any resistance to that?
None whatsoever.
Okay. So I'm just going to lead you through a prayer. And so you just picture Jesus and lay that up on the altar and just say, Jesus,
I recognize
that I have embraced fear.
I have embraced fear.
And I'm using fear. To prepare me for the bad thing.
To prepare me for that bad thing.
I ask forgiveness for doing this.
Please forgive me, Jesus, for doing this.
So now I choose.
I choose, oh Lord.
To break my agreement with fear.
To break my agreement with fear.
And all of its ungodly benefits.
And all of its ungodly benefits.
And I command.
And I command.
Every ungodly assignment.
Every ungodly assignment.
Connected to these things.
Connected.
You go now in Jesus' name.
Go now in Jesus' name.
So, Lord Jesus, I ask you, cleanse this place for her. Just let it go. Lord, I ask you, just clean this out. And Lord Jesus, what do you want to give her in exchange?
I just keep seeing my room again, that room, that beautiful room he gave me. It's just time. I'm hearing time. And I'm seeing the room.
How are you feeling?
Feeling very loved.
Is that fear still there?
No.
Okay, go back to that memory at 13.
Okay.
See what it feels like there. Gone?
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just bless her. I bless her, and I ask that you seal this place up and help her just to be confident in your love. In Jesus' name. Could you see her visibly change as soon as that left? Isn't that powerful? Now, I could have told her Jesus loves her. She knows it. I could have said there's no reason. I could have tried to reason with her and told her all the things she's heard 100 times and told herself a zillion times. But when he says it, it makes all the difference in the world. She looks a lot happier. That's awesome. Anybody else want to volunteer? All right. So I'm going to take you all through. Want to do one? Awesome. I've not done value exchange with you that I recall. So, you know, I never know what I know her, but you never know what you're going to get. So it's a little, but I so trust the Lord. I so trust him. And I know it's going to be good. So what brings you up here?
It's a generational of health issues, a belief and an identity in it. It's very deep into many, many generations.
Okay, so what would the belief, a belief statement about that generational curse?
It's an identity in it.
So you believe that your identity is in illness.
Correct.
Okay. And that feels, yes. Yeah. And that feels true.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
You just revealed this to me this week.
Awesome. So how would it feel to you? Any resistance? Because when those things run deep and even you know all the right answers, it sometimes can feel uncomfortable to let it go. Do you have any resistance to putting that up on the altar and letting that go? Okay. And so sometimes, I'm just going to say this, generational curses, sometimes children can take them on in order to identify with the parent that has that. And so there can be some resistance there. So I want you to feel that part out. So if you have a parent that's ill, and a grandparent, and you know it goes on down through the line, sometimes in order to earn value and worth from the parent, you'll identify with a stronghold that they're carrying, like illness or fear or whatever, it feels like a bond. Children will do that. It feels like a bond with that parent.
It'd be more of me and my child.
Okay.
She's
so
carrying that generational. Way. Yes.
All right. All right. So we're just going to set that thing up on the altar.
Okay.
And the benefit is that it gives you identity. Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And just say, Jesus. So you just set it up there and say, Jesus.
Jesus.
I recognize that I have come into a generational curse.
Of illness.
And I've used this to affirm my identity. And I ask forgiveness for doing this.
So I choose now to break my agreement
with this ungodly curse,
of illness.
And the benefit of false identity.
And I command
all demonic assignments
connected to it
to go now in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, I'm just going to pray over your body a minute because this is illness, I'm going to break the memory of illness off of her body and break the agreement. The body holds memory. Body keeps the score. And so I'm going to break this off of her body, this false identity. I just take authority right now over a spirit of illness, infirmity,
And I break its power off of your body right now in Jesus' name. And I release your body to be free. And I break the memory of illness off of your body. And I command your body to let it go and release it. And to be blessed, to receive the blessing of healing. And I just, God, I thank you for healing. You're amazing. And I just command, even in your mind, to reposition itself in proper thinking, to align itself with you, Lord, how you think about illness and identity. And so, Lord, right now I ask you, give her a value exchange. What do you want to give her in exchange for this curse?
I just see myself just dancing, swirling, twirling in the heavenlies. There is no illnesses to hold me down. There's nothing to keep me from being in that freedom.
How does that feel to you?
Feels good.
So check out your identity. The last time you thought of yourself as an ill person and identified with that.
Okay.
How does it feel?
Not there. That awesome? That awesome? So that frees her body to begin healing. Because it's no longer using that, standing under that identity. That's amazing. Thank you.
Thank you.
So that one was a little bit different. But what, Marquito?
Mm-hmm. What do you do about that, especially if they're not of an age where you can
take them through? Generational curses, a child will take on up until I find about the age of 8 at the latest, mostly. It's usually way before that. And up until that time, when a child's underage, you have authority, you have spiritual authority over that child, and you can break that curse. When they start resisting your authority, they're going to... So about at the age of 8 or 9, you can easily start taking a child through a session, and they get it. All right, I'm going to take you all through. You ready? Does everybody have your stronghold? If you do, raise your hand. Something you'd like to give to the Lord. Also, I want to talk about sadness just for a second. Sadness is always truth-based, right? It's true. Whatever happened that was hard and sad was sad. That's not a lie. So don't necessarily treat sadness as a stronghold. All you have to do with sadness, so the way sadness becomes a stronghold is if you feel like you have to hold on to it because you're going to betray the circumstances or your grandmother that passed away a few years ago. I had a young man, actually, that had that very thing. His stomach was he had digestive problems. He had a lot of sad. I asked him, what happened? He was young, like 18. And I said, what happened like within a year or two just before you started getting stomach problems? He goes, my grandmother passed away. And I said, how are you feeling? He goes, I'm so sad. I just have so much sadness. And I said, well, how would it feel to let that sadness go? And he said, I can't do that. And he said, I would betray her memory. And so we talked about that a little bit, and I got him to the place where he could release. He had actually a soul tie, which we'll get into next week. But that soul tie was holding that sadness in place, and we broke that when he was, you know, when he got into the place where he could break it, and his stomach instantly healed. So sadness is truth-based. So all you normally need to do with sadness is just give it. Just say, Lord, I don't want to carry this anymore. I choose to give you sadness. It was sad, and I want to honor my heart there, but I don't need to stay sad. If you stay sad, it will cause depression, all right? So there's a time to be sad, but then that needs to shift at some point. So it's not quite the same as other feelings. All right, everybody have your stronghold. Yes, did I see all the hands go up? All right. So close your eyes. This is between you and the Lord. Does it feel safe? Does it feel okay to put your strong... Oh, let me ask you this. Find your benefit now. If you have trouble, just raise your hand and one of my team members will come and help you. Find the benefit to your stronghold. When you get that, raise your hand, just so I can keep you all on the same page. Awesome, you guys are doing good. Good. All right. If it feels okay to lay this on the altar, go ahead and lay it up there. And just say, Jesus, I recognize that I have accepted a stronghold of, you name your stronghold, and I have used this stronghold for the benefit of, and name your benefit, and I ask forgiveness for doing this. So now I choose to break my agreement with this stronghold of and its benefits, and I command all ungodly assignments connected to these things, you go now in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask you just cleanse this place for each of them. Just clean it out. Just feel yourself letting it go. Lord Jesus, could you just give them what you value in exchange for what they've held on to? What do you want them to have? Now just receive. When you feel like you've gotten your exchange, raise your hand. Okay. Does anybody feel stuck? We have a private room back there, and we have people that will help you. Anybody want help? Okay. There's one there. There's one here. There's one there. So I need healing team members to take these people. Lorna, can you get the other? Oh, Michelle. Anybody else? Anybody else feel stuck? Right here. Barbara, you want to get her? And just go to the back where there's seat. I mean, you can get separated in the seating where it's more private. Okay, anybody else need some help? How many of you felt relief and peace? Okay, now check it. Let's check what you've gotten. Go back to a memory where you know that you felt that stronghold. It was in the memory. 5 minutes ago, it would have been in the memory. Check that memory and see how it feels. How many have peace in that memory? Isn't that amazing? That's awesome. You guys did good. Did good. All right. There are hindrances to healing. Issues between you and God, like lack of trust, or thinking he's not going to talk to you, or he's not going to share that with you, or can be God issues. I'd like to call them God issues. I would just encourage you to use the value exchange to clear those up. Yeah. Number two, believing that God is not going to speak to you or that you can't hear. So don't, that's why it's so important not to put the pressure on hearing. You can receive. Trying to analyze the memory, number three. Remember to keep it simple. Asking why questions, why this happened or that happened, is a pit. It will stop the process. That you've been asking why for years. Why never gets answered. Well, I'll tell you why. The other person was wounded. And that's why. That's why it happened. That's why, you know, bad from person to person, it's because the other person is wounded. Now, we have other circumstances in our lives. We can't always explain them. And there's no answer to the why. It just happens because we live in a fallen world and bad things are going to happen. But it's how we perceive and how we work through that bad thing that is everything. Number four, it's possible to get overwhelmed in negative emotion. At this point, ask Holy Spirit to help you focus and calm down. Some of yours might read a little bit different than what I'm reading to you. I have a little bit older page here. But still good. You could, number five, you could be tempted to relive every detail of a memory. If you go to a memory first, you could get caught up in the quagmire of the memory. It's better to go to the emotion first, especially if you're alone. Let yourself go to the emotion, the stronghold first, and then check the memory. So, the way you holding on to your healing is very important, because the enemy will try and steal it from you because he doesn't like you losing ground, right? So knowing that you've been healed is number one. Confidence in your healing. That this, you couldn't make this happen if you tried, because you've been trying for however many years you've been trying. You couldn't bring peace. Now you've got peace. So you know it was the Lord. You know you got healing, right? Invite, number one, invite Holy Spirit to guard your heart and your mind and alert you to the schemes of the enemy. That's part of what he loves doing. Number two, as soon as you realize you're feeling a negative belief, such as fear, something you've been healed of, say this: I command fear to go in Jesus' name with the expectation it must go. So all that is a poke. It's not any different. It's a temptation. It's a temptation to take fear back again. That's all it is. And the Bible says if we flee from the enemy, say no to that temptation, that's the way out. It has to go. It has to go. So you tell it to go. It's a poke. That's it. Then say, Jesus, I just felt fear. What do you want me to know about that? And be sure and listen. The Lord will reinforce the truth that he just put in you. So you got a new foundation, where before you had a foundation of whatever your stronghold was. Now you have a kingdom foundation. And every time you hear the Lord talk to you about that, that foundation is going to get thicker and wider. And it will become your default. But you have to guard the default. Check the emotion. After you do that, see if it still feels true that you need to be fearful. That little exchange, I command fear to go, or whatever it is, I command that to go in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, what do you want me to know? It rhymes. It's that simple. So just listen then. That, if I could get people to do that little bit, takes 2 minutes. You will stand in your healing, and there's so that poke will get less and less, because the enemy will finally get it that you got it, that you know you got it, and that's what he's after. He's trying to make you think you don't, and because if it's a, because it's a feeling, we think it's true, and so it's a different way of approaching emotions. But it's powerful. All right. Well, thank you all for coming out. Next week, we're going to build on this. And I have some more helps for you and some other teaching. So if you can, come back. But I just want to bless you. So, Father, I thank you for this group of hungry people. And I thank you. I ask that you guard their minds and their hearts, and in the healing that they got tonight, that it would, they would believe it and have confidence in you, in your heart for them. I bless each of you, and with safety going home. And I just thank you, God. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.